Amen.
Amen.
We are happy to be back together this morning. And, you know, I was just thinking in there a while ago, sometimes Satan might try to discount it to you, you know, that just a little group gets together. But God said that when two or three are gathered together in His name, He is there in the midst. So He thought it was important enough to tell us that He would be together with us if it was two or three gathered in His name. Then I don't think we should let Satan tell us something different, right?
Amen.
Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You that You brought us back here this morning. We're missing one or two and three here, Lord, the sick or traveling or whatever it might be. Lord, You knew all these things. And Father, You knew how it would be this morning. You knew how our hearts would be hungry. And Lord, how we'd be searching and leaning and looking to You, Lord. And we thank You for all You've given us. And we look for more today. And Father, we pray You'll just bless us and be with us now. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I had a little, I sent my quotes, I guess, too early because I had a little change afterwards. And so these first, I'm going to read from about five places out of the Church Ages book to start with. And I'll put them in the quotes when I put it out on the website. But at this moment, you'll have to hear me read until we get to that. We'll probably not go through all the other quotes that are in there. We'll probably save those for the next time. But we wanted to start out here. You know, just to finish that thought I was talking about on the God being simple, simplicity, I was also reading this morning. Brother Branham said that of all things for God to hide behind, He was hid behind badger skins.
Amen.
In the temple. And they built this temple, and when they built it, they built that veil out of badger skins. And to this day, all the people who do the conversion or the translations of the Bible, badger is not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be something else, and they don't understand what it's supposed to be. They've never been able to figure out. So they just put badger because that was the closest that they could work it out. But it was a simple animal that He made that veil out of. Just a simple animal like a badger. But to think that God, the pillar of fire, would come down in that room behind that. And Brother Branham said it was a secret, and the only people that knew it was Israel. Israel knew it, but none of these others knew it. Knew it that God stayed there behind that veil. And he said that was God hiding in simplicity, hiding in that little room behind those animal skins. And so we try to make God what man calls something big, when God doesn't do that. God is simple. He's not simple. But he comes to us in simplicity.
Amen.
And so I pulled these five things from the Church Ages book, and I probably would have just went this way altogether, but I didn't have time. The thought occurred to me, but then after I looked at this, I realized it went with the first part of this message well, so we'll just merge the two together. And I quit trying to figure things out, and when I come to the study, I just in the study, and then when it gets time, then I'll just come and we'll talk about what He's been showing me, and we'll just leave it like that.
Yeah.
And so the first one, we've read it before, and I was kind of hoping Brother Harvey and Nathan would have been here so I could maybe make some things a little clearer that we talked about Wednesday night, and that's okay. And for some reason, God wants us to revisit a little bit on this before we go this other into the union. And but you know, you can't. I said I'd been talking about the oneness and talking about the soul the whole time, and that is the union. That is where God joins Himself. And so that's when a man ceases to be a man and becomes a God-man, as Brother Branham talked about. But let's go back, way back, and I mentioned Wednesday night that we had talked about the Brother Branham said that God had one purpose and one goal. And he said that in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. Well, he went on to elaborate what that one purpose and one goal was in that message. He talked about how that one purpose and that one goal was to express himself, to make himself known, and to save man. And by saving man, he was making himself known. By coming in Christ, showing the world that he was a savior in a man. That was him making himself known. And so God was expressing himself. And Brother Bram said that was part of God's one purpose, to do that, to express himself. And so this is in the Church Ages book, and I'll pull all these for y'all later if you want. But if you just play the tape back and get a phrase here, you'll be able to find what I'm reading out of the Church Ages book. We start with the fact that there were two trees in the midst of the garden. The tree of life was Jesus, and the other tree is definitely Satan, because of what come forth from the fruit of that tree. Now then, we know that both of those trees had a relationship to man, or they would never have been placed there.
Amen.
So here it is. We've done talked about this before, I know. But he's placed both these trees here in the garden. And we're going to talk about this a little later. We've talked about the two covenants. Brother Bram said the two covenants was the one he made with Adam and the one he made with Abraham. And he said the one that he made with Adam wasn't eternal, because it was based on Adam. Y'all can find that. It's in the message. I think I've read it. And he said the one he gave Abraham was eternal because it was based on Christ. It's based on what he'd already done. So why would God make a garden and put them under something that was not eternal the whole time? And we know that. We know the answers to those questions and stuff. But let's keep listening here a little bit. They must have had a part in the sovereign plan. And we read what sovereign meant. Sovereign means God has it all. It's all under his control. Sovereign means. Not under ours. It's under his control. We must have had, they must have had, those two trees, must have had a part in this sovereign plan and purpose of God. So the plan of God and the purpose of God, same thing. In their relationship to mankind. So the purpose of God in their relationship to mankind and to himself. Or we could never impute omniscience to God. So if he didn't know about these things, in other words, then we couldn't say he knows everything. So we know he did. And this is all true so far, is it not? Now, the word most definitely sets forth that before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. So Brother Bram said he had one purpose, one goal, and that was to express himself in man. Now he's telling us that the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. So he's either got two purposes or they're the same purpose.
That's right.
Now, I'm not trying to twist things around. That's just, he said both. So it has to be true. All right, now this is another place in the Church Ages book. And he's talking about Israel. And he's talking about this purpose again. They had their side that wasn't praiseworthy. Talking about Israel wasn't so good, because Balaam was trying to say, you know, he's trying to say stuff about them. But in spite of their imperfections, by the purpose of God that works through election by grace and not by works. See? So the purpose of God was going to take place through election and through grace, not by our works. There was going to be works, but the works were by grace, not by us. You see what I'm saying? So Brother Brown preached the message, works is faith expressed. So there are works, but it's not ours.
Amen.
It's faith expressed. It's God expressing. So as a feminine of God, I made this statement the other night. As the feminine of God, what do we do? We give ourselves to our husband. We lay our will down.
Amen.
and we take His will. And by taking His will, we make and produce His will. That's what His, that's what His purpose was, to express Himself in man. And that's how He was going to do it. And so He put them in the garden there with those two trees to show them that it wasn't going to work if they tried to do it themselves. See, that's not the feminine place of the bride. And He showed that in the garden when He put there and He gave the responsibility to Adam to do it himself.
Amen.
And He was showing that that's not going to work, that the man is going to have to do it. And so, and Brother Bram said several things about the law was that way. He gave the law to the Jews to show them that it was not going to work. And so let's keep reading here. So in spite of their imperfections, Israel's imperfections, and ours too, by the purpose of God that works through election by grace and not by works, they had the cloud by day. See, they had these things in their life. God put the cloud by day. He put the pillar of fire by night. They had the smitten rock. They had the brazen serpent and the signs and wonders. They had all those things by nothing they done for it. Mm-hmm. See, and that's God's promise that He gave Abraham still taking place in the lives of those children all those years after that. I hope you start to see the picture here, brother and sister. I hope you start to see that picture. They were vindicated not of themselves, but in God. They were vindicated in God. All right, so third place. Brother Ram says that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. So that's the same scripture that he read up here before. But listen to what he talks about now. But of Him that calleth. So it's of God. He's the one doing the calling. This love is elective love. It is His love for His elect. And His love of them is apart from their human merit. It's apart from that. Their love, His love for us is apart from everything we could do as a human.
Mm-hmm.
Even Adam and Eve, before they fell, they still could not have come to it. It wasn't about that. It was about Him, not about their merit. And His love for them is apart from human merit. For it says that the purpose of God stands in election. God's purpose, His willingness to share His eternal life with man, Him having one purpose to express Himself in man, all those things were going to take place because He loved us.
That's right.
For the says that the purpose of God stands in election, which is exactly opposite to works or anything that man has in himself. See that? Brother Bram's making it just as clear as he possibly can say it. Now this goes right back to what he said about Mary and about the virgin birth. Remember what he said? He said it could not be her egg, and then God creates sperm. God created both the egg and the sperm. Because if it had been her egg, then that would have been her ovaries and her dropping the egg down. It would have been her having something to do with it.
Right.
Even that involuntary part of the flesh that she can't control or stop or nothing else, God still wasn't going to use that even.
That's right. Amen.
It was God created in her. Brother and sister, God don't do anything that's by an accident.
Amen.
When He does something like that, it's the real, true God making Himself shown and seen.
Amen.
There's nothing like extra
that
you could like throw away and that don't mean anything. It means something. So he says it was the exact opposite to works or anything that man has in himself. Because before the children were born, before they'd done anything, He had already said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Before they'd done anything. All right. Now, this is the fourth. Now, that speaks of that covenant by saying that. Because what did he tell Abraham? Abraham's covenant was not anything you're going to do, Abraham. I've already done it. I've already done it, Abraham. He gave, and it's even to the fact that it wasn't Abraham's faith. It was the faith that God gave Abraham to do it. And I can give you a quote for that too if you want it. But Brother Brown said in the Church Ages book that even Peter, when he walked through the gate there, and that person was sick, and he said, "Such as I have, give I thee." He said, what did Peter do? Give him his faith? No, he said it was God's faith that he received. And so that's what Brother Bram said Malachi 4 come to restore, was to restore God's faith.
That's right.
And all right, so let me get off the path there. So this is the fourth one. It's in the same, it's in the Church Ages book. Ephesians 1:4 says, in Ephesians 1, period, you should go read that sometime. Ephesians 1:4 says, is the purpose of God for us that, here's God's purpose for us. This was his one purpose. He's going to express himself. He's going to give us eternal life. He's going to do it without our merit. Mm-hmm. His purpose is that we would be holy and without blame before him.
Amen.
So he is going to make us holy and without blame before him, not us.
That's right.
And brother, I'm trying to drive this home. Because ever since Adam and Eve fell back there, man has had this idea that he has some part in it still. And God has been taking that away to restore the fellowship. So, and you notice that when he restores it, it's not under that old covenant. He's restoring it under the Abrahamic covenant, which means I will covenant. I've already done it covenant. He says that we will be without, we should be holy and without blame before him. So now we got four different purposes of God. One, he's going to make us holy and without blame before him. One is going to share eternal life with man. The one is going to express himself through man. And then here he's talked, I missed one here, that it was going to be by grace. All right, so now this is the fifth one. And so he's going to tie it back in here real tight with that scripture that, or the one I mentioned in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. So he's reading in John 15:16. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that.
Amen.
I've chosen you. Now what that means is not what sometimes people think it means right off the bat, because You still somewhere had to accept him. Brother Bram talks about this. I think it's before this or in another place. He talks about how that God was going to choose his bride like men choose their brides today, he said. He said because the woman don't come to him and say, I choose you as my husband. He said he goes to her and tells her he wants to take her as his wife, and she has to accept, he said. So that's what he's saying here. You didn't come to me and say to me, I'm going to take you as my husband. I came to you and said, I'm going to take you as my wife. That's what he's saying. All right. So now, according to the word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. Remember, we talked about the foundation stone that was put in you. Brother Brown said he explained it a bunch of different ways. Predestination, that other William Branham down in there. The foundation stone, and now he's talking about he chose you before the foundation of the world to be his bride. And then that was Ephesians 1:9, he says something, and then Romans 9:11, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Now, we done read that one. So, you can't read it any other way, he says. The heart purpose of God. The heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God. Now he's getting straight and serious with it. Was to take a bride of his own choosing. It was for him to do it. Mm-hmm. See that? There's that covenant with Abraham again. Right. Which was not the covenant he put there Adam under. Yeah. But yet Adam was predestinated in Christ the whole time that was taking place. So you see more and more why the garden had to take place like it was. More and more why he's pointing at them two trees and saying it has to have a sovereign purpose in God's plan. You see that now. I didn't lose you on that. All right. So the heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride of his own choosing. And that purpose was in himself. And being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. So his purpose in expressing himself, his purpose in sharing eternal life, his purpose that it being without our merit, it being that he chose his bride of his own choosing. It's all that same thing. Yeah. And so those things that he's talking about in all these different ways is what happens in our life. It's what takes place when this new birth is coming. And it's when it's in every age, Brother Ram said there was a type of it. So he said Luther came and Luther had part of the word. He had a portion of the word. And that was a type of this birth. Brother Ram said they were begotten and not born. So, all right, so now we're going to start in our quotes that I sent. And we're going to go through this. God, the mighty God is unveiled before us, and then a little bit of the birth pains. And that's where we'll stop for today. All right, so now thinking about those things we just talked about. When Jesus came, if he had come with Noah's message, it wouldn't have worked. To build an ark and float out, it wouldn't have worked. So that predestination that's in God's children's heart, the ones that were there that were with Noah and in Noah's heart, if Noah had had any other message, they wouldn't have caught it. See, because it's God making his purpose come to pass. And that's where he was that day. He was going to separate and destroy all that physical serpent seed and take the what was remaining of this pure seed over, and the human, the physical the seed of it. And so this was God taking place. It wouldn't have worked, but Noah was a portion of God. He acted a peculiar way because he was peculiar. And his message was peculiar because it was the word made manifest. This was God taking place in the middle of the situation that Noah faced that day. He could not have come with Moses' message because it wouldn't have worked. Moses was God in portion made manifest. There Noah was, now Moses is. He was the word expressed for that hour. But Jesus could not come in that. Because Jesus was the fullness. He couldn't come in the portion. And one portion can't come in the other portion. It's not possible. Because this is God making his purpose known. And his purpose don't get out of order or get all mixed up or anything else. He's doing it. You know what I mean? If a man was getting ready for a wedding, most of the time women do all that nowadays, but if a man was getting ready for a wedding, he'd have a list maybe, and he'd go do this, and then he goes do this, then he goes and do this, then he does this, and that's exactly what the Bible is. Yeah. We see that marriage preparation all the time that he's bringing to fast, how he was going to share his life with man. All right, so he could not have come with Moses' message because it wouldn't have worked. I got that. Paragraph 78. But when he come, expressed exactly like the Testament, the Old Testament he's talking about, had said he would be expressed, all those prophecies down through the ages, then all those who were redeemable believed it. Because those redeemables had been set to see this message for this hour. That had been put in their heart. to see that message. Because they were the thoughts of God. Mm-hmm. They were the thoughts of God. Made. Then all the redeemable believed it because they were the thoughts of God. The attributes of Him at the beginning was made flesh and redeemable. It was made flesh and redeemable. Remember He said, he's going to quote it right here in just a second, what He means by that. And redeemable, and was brought back to God, as many as received Him. Those that are made redeemable,
that's right.
They received Him. To Him gave He the power to become the sons of God. So what made them redeemable? It was that foundation stone. It was that power to become the sons of God. It was the power to be redeemable and see the message in the
Amen.
Hour.
That's right.
God didn't leave anything to chance, brother and sister. Brother Bram talked about, I've said it a bunch of times, about staggering from here to there and out of this church to that church. And he said the whole time it was birth pains
Amen.
Taking place. It was that redeemable part
right.
being brought to pass. All right. As many as received Him, He gave to them gave He the power to become sons of God. Because they were redeemable. They were from the beginning in the expression.
Right.
See that? From the beginning they were in the expression. What was the expression? The Logos.
Amen.
When the Logos come out of God, and Brother Bram said, let there be, let there be, let there be. And it was coming out. And he said, let there be a man. Let there be a man. Okay? And everybody says, well, Adam was finished. No, Adam wasn't finished. I don't care what nobody says. The message says that Adam was ordained in Christ.
Amen.
The only place any of us are finished is in Christ.
That's
if
right.
we're part of Him. That's where it has to be.
Yeah.
And so Adam was there. He was just like God wanted him. He was just like God made him. There was nothing wrong. He represented. He was in God's place. They don't change anything that we've ever been taught about Adam.
Right.
It doesn't change it. What it changes is to realize what was being done there in the garden. That's what I'm trying to get across. All right. Now, if we could stop here a moment, if it would be possible, and think of that. Think of what he just said about from the beginning they were in the expression. And think of that tonight of the message of the hour, the expressed thoughts of Jehovah. The message of the hour, the one that we care so much about, is the expressed thoughts of Jehovah. Before the foundation of the world, we are told our names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then we see the two sides. As I first said, why one is odd to the other? Why did Noah look so peculiar to the rest of the group back there? Why did Moses look so peculiar? That's what he's saying. Why does every son and daughter of God look pretty much out of place in this world? And with their thoughts, not just with their clothes and stuff they wear around, the things they abstain from and stay away from, but the things that they don't agree with that the other world's trying to push upon us. Our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then we see the two sides. As I first said, why one is odd to the other. It must be that way. It was always. It always has been that way. And it always will be that way. He was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right, so now God, back in the days of the Old Testament, we find that after He had appeared to His people in different forms, God showed Himself all His different forms. He veiled Himself, then He took this simple one. He veiled Himself behind old badger skins. God, hiding behind badger skins at His mercy seat.
Amen.
The only mercy that the human being had was in God, and He was hiding behind animal skins. And people say that God don't hide stuff. But it says in the scripture that He reveals it to the babes that will learn at His mercy seat. We find that, how that Solomon, when he dedicated the temple of the Lord, and those badger skins were hanging there, that the veil, how that he came in as the pillar of fire and as a cloud, and went down behind there and veiled himself to the outside world. But by faith, Israel knew he was back there. They knew he was there regardless of what any of the heathen worlds had to say. He was hid from the believer. Now, brother, sister, he's not talking about Israel. If you're spiritual, you understand what he's talking about right there. He's talking about that what's going on in the prophet right now. In the, his message, the mighty God unveiled before us.
Amen.
That's what he's trying to say. He was hid from the unbeliever. There's so many people will tell you that Brother Branham didn't have Christ, or that in some way he didn't fulfill what Christ was supposed to fulfill when he comes to get his bride. But by faith, Israel knew that he was back there. They knew he was there regardless of what any of the heathen worlds had to say. He was hid from the unbeliever, but the believer by faith knew he was back there. They had mercy. He was at his mercy seat, which was the great seat. So now, remember what he said over here a while ago, that his purpose was that we should be holy and without blame before him. And so here he is working it out in Israel, even in Israel, in this type, he's doing it. They had mercy. He was at his mercy seat, which was a great secret. You know, in the Old Testament, to enter behind the skin was death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to stay from behind it is death.
That's right.
Something happened. Something changed. He's going to tell us what happened. Then, to enter into his glory was death. Now, to stay away from his glory is death. That happened, of course, at the rending of the veil at Calvary. When the veil was rent, the old veil. Now, to stay out of his presence is death. Then, to enter in his presence was death. See? It changes back and forth. And you must find the scripture to see what day we're living in.
Amen. That's right.
So that you know how to be in his presence. Now, when the veil was rent at Calvary, the mercy seat came into plain view. So God was getting ready to change where they should be looking. But what happened? It was hanging on Calvary, dripping in blood. And everything that happened in his life testified to it. Brother Branham is not just talking about back there, brother and sister. He's talking about what happened in our day.
Yeah.
And he'll hit it later on in this message. I don't know if I brought it in here. I probably didn't. But you can go read this message. I don't want you to miss that, though. Brother Branham does not talk about things that happened back there just to be talking about things that happened back there. He brings them here. Brings them present. Brother Branham said that was his. That's what he came to do. Brother Branham said to him, as the prophet, God using him as the prophet, he came to bring you into God's presence.
Right.
I can show you the quotes where he said it. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that he can bring you into God's presence is if William Branham is gone.
That's right.
Because remember we talked about the works? It's not your works. It's the Holy Spirit doing the works.
That's right. Yeah.
So the only way he can bring you into his presence is if he's out of the way and God's in him doing the works.
Yes, sir.
Because that's the only thing, if you got that foundation stone in you, that's the only thing that foundation stone is going to recognize is God doing the works, you see.
It.
And so that's what I was trying to get across. You can quit now if you want. There's not a whole lot more, though. There's a whole lot more. All right. There it was. It was hanging on Calvary, dripping in blood. And as they had took blood year after year at the cleansing of the sanctuary and the sprinkling of the mercy seat, their God, God. Recognize what Christ was. Christ was a man, but he had given his will to God.
Right.
And that's why he could be called God. God, with his great mighty stroke of lightning power, split the old badger veil from the top to the bottom, and the mercy seat came into plain view.
Amen.
As soon as that price was paid, God went right straight to showing the world what he'd done. And only the ones that are going to see it, even those didn't see it.
Right.
Even those didn't see it until the day of, you know, the day of Pentecost when it dropped for them to understand. On the road to Emmaus, it burned in their hearts as they talked about it. The real genuine Lamb of God was hanging in view, in plain view on Calvary. The real mercy seat. Not this one where they sprinkled the blood of cows and, or goats, and, or not goats, but the different offerings and stuff. Then God, when God had paid the price himself and become one of us and had manifested himself as a man to get acquainted with us and we to be acquainted with him.
Amen.
What did he say? He became us that we might become him.
Yes, sir.
His purpose, the might, the mercy seat, was in plain view of all Israel on the day of the atonement. But alas, the traditions of the church fathers in that day had, by their traditions, had veiled the true mercy seat from the people. Because of they'd gotten set in their ways, we go to church and we believe this and don't think no more about it than nothing else for the rest of the week. We believe this. This is our tradition. You know, this is what we do. And then go on and go do, be part of the world. You can be part of the world and not be out there sinning. You can still be part of the world. If your idea is about, you know, I'm not going to get off on that. Their traditions kept them from seeing it. If they would have known the scripture, these ones that knew it, back to front, but they didn't know it. If they'd known the scripture, each piece would have come like the Chinese tag. See, it would have fit to them. See what he's saying?
Yes, sir.
The redeemable part. That's why he called us the redeemable part a while ago. The redeemable part, when they had the tag and you pick up your laundry, Brother Bram talked about the Chinese, they would take that tag and they would tear it a certain way. And then when you brought your redeemable part back, it fit right there and they knew which one to give you. That's what he's talking about. I'm sure you all have heard that before. The Old Testament prophecy would have been fulfilled, and it was. And if they had been taught the scripture, they would have seen the mercy seat. They didn't make an announcement that I'm changing the mercy seat.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find it in there. But he's fulfilled the scripture. And then what happened? You know what I'm saying. There was no announcement there. And if they had been taught the scripture, they would have seen the mercy seat. Jesus didn't go around preaching against the sacrifices, did he? No. No, he went to the Passover. He went to these different ones. But he knew who he was the whole time. And he knew that God would make real in him this scripture. And that these people who were redeemable would see it. God just, he did the whole thing, is what I'm saying. The Old Testament prophecy would have been fulfilled. And it was. And they had been taught, if they had been taught the scripture, what they would have seen the mercy seat. As Moses said here, that to this day, they're veiled. It's still veiled over. It's still over their hearts. They don't see it. Mm-hmm. To this day, you got ultra-Orthodox in Israel that are right by the Old Testament and don't see nothing with Christ at all. But he was God, the suffering and the atonement. He was the genuine mercy seat standing in full view. And as they sing the hymn, lo, behold him in plain view. There he is, the mighty conqueror, since he rent the veil in two. See, he came, the mercy seat, hanging in clear view of the congregation. But them being under that popular opinion, he's going to explain what that means in a minute. Just, he's going to kind of butter him a little bit before he explains it, because it's going to hurt. Now, men and women and delegates of this convention, I want to say this without respect of person, but in the view of today, in view of what we're here for today, I'm afraid, in view of what we're here for today, don't miss that. What he's here for today, why he's bringing this message today, why there's a prophet on the scene today, don't miss that. What we're here for today, I'm afraid that the traditions of the fathers, the church fathers, has hid this from too many people. Since the Holy Ghost has come in this last days as prophesied, and the veil has been rent.
Yes, sir.
The veil has been rent. Not that one back there. This one has been rent. Too many people try to hang to their traditions of the fathers. And that's why they can't see this extreme joy and peace and things that the church has today. Yet it's in plain view of those who believe. It's in plain view of those that are redeemable. He hid the word, the promised word of this day. He hid it.
Yes, sir.
Now don't ever let anybody in this message tell you, I've been told by people precious to me, that, Chris, you're trying to make it too complicated. You're trying to do this. You're trying to make it some big hidden secret. I said, it says it is a hidden secret. It says it is. I'm not trying to make it anything. I'm just reading what the prophet said. And he said it. He hid the word, the promised word of this day. He done it. He hid it. And he starts talking about this lily. Now, lily, he said, consider it. Now, how it grows, toils, has to bring itself up. Now, what we've been talking about here for the last little bit is how he was bringing us out of that Old Testament and bringing us from law to grace. And we're talking, and that was birth pain. Brother Branham talks about all those prophets that come along there in the Old Testament were birth pains. As their message would come, he said, every time they'd get one, they got so far off the word and it would shake them and rattle them back. Every time, he said. But those were just pains. Those weren't the actual last pain. And when he read this message, when he started this message, he read about the woman travaileth, and there's much pain and distress, but then as soon as the child is born, there's this great joy and happiness. Right. So God is bringing birth pains to that old man that's created, because he's bringing the new man forth. And Brother Bram says that that old man has to die, and not only does he has to die, but he has to rot. He has to not even look anything like it was. Brother Ram said it has to rot. So I'm going to read you some of that. If I don't, then we'll get it next time. But all right. So, lily, consider it. How it grows and toils. How it brings itself up. This little pond lily. Look where it come from. What it come through. The dirt and the muck and the muddy waters, dirty waters. It pressed its way through all that. This little germ of life, working itself from the bottom of the pond where the frogs and the things are at, and the brings itself up through all of that. So here he is talking about that. Brother Bram, if you'll go study these, it takes a certain amount of heat to get on the bottom of that pond to make that seed start to open up and start to grow. So the sun has to touch it. A little bit. It has to get into that presence just a little bit before it can start to grow. But when it gets into presence of the sun, it's born. That's when he gets to the top he's talking about. The little seed burst open into life. You cannot do that until it goes through all that process. It's got to come through that. That's what makes it. It's because that the sun itself is what's drawing it. The sun is what's drawing that seed. Amen. See the redeemable part? The sun don't make any of the other muck in there come up. Amen. Just that seed comes up. That's what makes it. It is because the sun itself is what's drawing it. And when it gets fully above all the dirty waters and muck and so forth, then it's so happy. It's so happy when it gets out of that water in the muck. It just gives it life out freely. When it gets out of that muck, it starts to give its life out freely.
Amen.
And it's a beautiful life when it gets in the presence of that which is drawing it up.
Yes,
remember what he said? It was death to go into the glory before. Now it's death not to go into the glory. Brother Brown was preaching this to a bunch of denominational preachers. Demas Sakarian, Carl Williams, different ones that were sitting there. And he says in the next message that I was trying to bring this, talking about them being born in those systems. Get out, you know, they need to get out of the system so they can get into the presence. That's what he was talking about. So, anyways, that's what it makes. It gives out its life for it. Okay, I think that's a beautiful type of Christian life. When something is drawing you out of the world until one day you're born right into its presence by the Holy Spirit. You're born right into it. It's drawing you out.
Amen.
But then you're born right into its presence.
Yes, sir.
By the Holy Spirit. How beautiful. If you try to help it, you kill it.
Amen.
If you try to help that seed from being drawn by that sun, you'll kill it.
Yes, sir.
Like the little chicken. When it's being born, you know, if you ever noticed one of them little fellas right on top of his little beak, or on any bird that's born from an egg, it's maturing this old eggshell. The old inner parts of the eggs has to rot away. And it has to take this little beak and scrape it back and forth until it breaks the shell. See, it's made with what it needs to get out of the egg.
That's right.
And it's just going to start doing it automatically. Pipping its way out, he says. We call it pipping down in Kentucky where I'm from. Pipping his way out. They had never found a better way. Why? It's God's provided way.
Yes, sir.
You try to help him, you'll kill him. Pick the shell off of him, he'll die.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's got to labor and strain and break forth. And what is it in him doing that?
Mm-hmm.
It's that redeemable part that's being drawn. That's the only thing that's going to come
back
to the sun is the sun.
Amen.
Left it. That's the way the Christian has to do. It isn't somebody just shaking your hand, taking you in. You got to lay there till you die, rot, and are born into the kingdom of God. It's God's provided way. You don't go in by a book or shake hands or and join and pump up and pull down. You just simply have to get away from the old shell.
Amen.
You get away from your thinking.
Yes, sir.
And stay with his thinking and see what happens. Notice, no better way have they ever found it. And what did he say? He called him the breasted one. You know, that breasted one ties right into what he said right here. When he said that his purpose was that we would be holy and without blame before him.
Yes, sir.
He's bringing it. It's his purpose. We can't help him do it. We'll mess it up. But now, that doesn't mean... See, that wasn't Samson helping God when that jawbone was laying there for him to pick up. God put that jawbone there. God gave him his strength. And he knew Adam would reach down and... I mean, I keep calling Samson Adam. He'd reach down and grab that jawbone and start killing them. That was made for that hour. He was made for that hour.
Yes, sir.
And Samson had to reach down and get that. God knew he would do it. He put it in him. He put the strength in him.
Amen.
And that was a weapon. He used the weapon. So, see what I'm saying? It isn't, you can't just stand there and say, well, God, you said you'd take care of me.
Yeah.
Okay. He shows you what he's done for you. And he expects you to have faith in what he's doing for you. That's what I'm saying, okay? So if Samson didn't believe that God was going to take care of his strength, he'd start thinking about that bone breaking. There's no way it's going to hit his head. You know, there'd be all these other things. But he has to push that old shell away and reach down and get the bone and swing it with the faith that God gave him. I'm sure that Abraham had so many things that pushed at him for 25 years.
Yes, sir.
But he pushed those away and just took what God said. He did that because God put it in him to do it.
That's right.
Brother, how many times have you heard Brother Branham say, I didn't do it of my own choosing?
Yes, sir.
We couldn't do it of our own choosing.
That's right.
And so it's that way. God, it's God's purpose. And when you realize you're a part of God's purpose, then you get on that horse and you ride it. You don't stop. You're part of God's purpose. Keep riding that horse.
Amen.
He made it. Okay, I got way off up here. Okay. They found no better way for a baby to get what it wants besides God's way for it. God has a way for you to get what you want, what you need. Now, when that little baby's born, you could set a bell down here beside his little crib and say, my little son, I'm a theologian in the way, and I've read books on how to raise a baby, and I tell you, you're a modern child. You've been born in a modern home by a modern parent. When you are hungry or need mother or I, just ring that little bell. Now, all your mothers know that ain't going to happen. Anybody that's ever took care of a baby knows that ain't going to work. It'll never work. The only way that it can get what it wants is to cry for it. Cry out. That's God's way. That's the way that we get what we want, is cry for it. Cry out. Don't be ashamed. Say, I'm hungering for God. Say it. Don't care what the deacons or pastors or whatever it is around. Scream out anyway. Anyhow, the Joan just sitting there. What difference does it make? Cry out. That's the only way there is to get it until you get help. Cry out until you get help. And he taught that when he was here on earth, you know, about the unjust judge. That's what he taught. And so in every man or woman that's born of the Spirit of God, there's something about it. That when the light spreads over us, that we're happy.
Amen.
Because we know we're going back to where we come from the bosom of God.
Amen.
Brother Brown was just giving the example of the dew that appears on the leaves in the morning. And he said they just seem to sparkle and just quiver. He said as the sun is taking them back up. And we know that the old seed, now listen to how he explains this. One age, he calls it an old seed. We know the old seed is must, before the new seed can come out of the old seed, it must rot absolutely. Not die only, but rot after it's dead. We know that to be true. That's the same thing in the new birth. We never go back, but we go forward when you're born again. And that's why I think we have not so many, genuine new births, is because they won't rot first. That's why I think today we have not so many genuine births, is because the seed is maybe will sympathize with the word or the person, but they don't want to rot away from the old system that they were in. They don't want to let their ideas go. They don't want to step away from the safety of the denomination. They don't want to come out of it. They want to stay in the old system and claim the new birth or the message of the age. And boy, do we see that around the message of the age today. They want to take part of the message, but not take all the message, so they can stay a little bit with their numbers. We found that under the Luther, Wesley, Pentecostal, and all other ages, they still try to hold on to the old system and claim this. But the old system age must die, rot, in order to bring forth the new one. It has to rot, or the new one's not coming forth. I don't know how I lose my place so easy. Now, rot is when it really is done away with. It may die, but it's still not done away with, is what he's saying. It's got to rot too before it's done away with. A claim is made that they are newborn, but a claim is only a begotten sign. Rotten brings forth the new birth. Got to rot away from it, just as it did in all ages through Wesley and all forth. But the thing of it is, after that new birth is born, Wesley or Luther came forth with one word. The just shall live by faith. Excuse me. Well, he could no longer cling on to that old system. He had to come out of it. Amen. So you see how he denounced the Catholic Church, and he come out of it. And he went over there and put a placard on the door, if I'm not mistaken. He put a door and said it was wrong. He was talking about the bread. They were saying it was the actual body of Christ, and he was saying it wasn't. So he made it known he was coming out against it. All right, so in paragraph 82, you're always called crazy. That's what they called Luther. I think it's where he got it, went from. But it says, Paul said when he rotted out of what he once claimed, he said, I'm in the way that it's called heresy. That's the way I worship the God of our fathers. In the way that's called heresy, see, he accepted the new life. The Old Testament had given birth to the new, and he had to rot away from the old and just make it a shadow. That's just what we are, where we are at now.
Amen.
See how I said he's never just talking about back there. Amen. He's trying to show you what's happening back there, because he always said, how many times did he say, so many times, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's the same, Satan's going to come against him. Every time. You got to have a fellowship card or some kind of identification. And by believing this, the only door I nearly have open is these businessmen. By 1963, he had almost no churches he could go to. It was 62, I think, is when he preached more messages than any other one, 61 or 62. But then it started dropping off. And it was right in 61 or 62. Was it 62 we preached, I indict this generation? It was somewhere in there. I indict this generation for the second crucifixion. How do you crucify Christ when if he's not there? People say he hadn't come back. How do you rent the veil again if he's not? Okay. All right. That's the way that's called heresy. That's the way I worship the God of our fathers. In the way that's called heresy, and heresy means crazy. See, he had accepted the new life, that the Old Testament had given birth to the new, and he had to rot away from the old and just make it a shadow. That's just where we are at now. Now, bear with me, but that's my idea. The churches have so systematically, till you can't get into one unless you belong to one. You got to have a fellowship card or some kind of identification. And by believing this, the only door I have open is the businessmen. And as long as they're not an organization and I can get in with them and bring the word that I feel is on my heart to the people, but it's so systematically. And I love you Pentecostal people. The Pentecost is not an organization anyhow. Do you hear that? Pentecost is not an organization anyhow. You just call yourself that. You call yourself Pentecost, but you're not Pentecost, is what he's saying. Pentecost is an experience and not a denomination. Do you see the thing of it is, it is so hard for many men when they look at it and believe it. They're looking at this message that he's preaching and they believe it. And they see it's identified by God over and over and over. They saw it. They're not like these naysayers that come up 60 years later and want to start pointing their finger back and say, yeah, this wasn't true and that wasn't true. And I'd like to see Mr. Kenna back then stand up. Oh, he'd be scared to death. Is it John Kenna? That's his name. The one that's come against the message. Yeah. No, it's not just him. It's more. But I'd like to see him have stood up behind him to them. But you see, the thing of it is, it's so hard for men, many men, when they look at it and they believe it and they see it so identified by God in the Word, yet it's so hard to rot away from the thing you've been in. What would I do? Where do I get my meal? Now, if we're to have a new earth, and the old earth and the new earth cannot exist at the same time, the old seed and the new seed can't exist at the new time. Or the new world and the old world cannot exist at the same time. There cannot be two world orders together at the same time. Now, in order to get the new earth, the old one has to die. To get this new order, you're going to have to die, he's telling them. And if the old one has to die, then it's giving birth pains for a new one. Mm-hmm. If the old one has to die, then it's giving birth pains because the new one's coming. One of the first things the doctor does is after he's been watching the patient is to time those pains, birth pains. He times those pains, how close they are together and how much terrific each one gets. And one is more harder to have than the other one. And the next one still harder, getting closer together. That's the way he diagnoses the case by the birth pains. Amen. Now, he's talking about the spiritual, too. Amen. And every one of you that's born again knows what he's talking about. Sure. Well, if the world has to give away to the birth of a new world, let's just examine some of the birth pains that we're going to having on earth. And then we'll see about what day and just how far she is going in her labor. Amen. Amen. That's where I was going to stop. And we'll pick up. And I'll just bring these on the next message. I'll try to do that. But sorry I kept y'all a little bit. Oh, I didn't do too bad today. But I appreciate y'all listening so good. And little ones too. It's hard on them, I know. And I appreciate them doing so good. Especially them two over there that's so lively. They did so good. I'm proud of them. All right, let's stand. And we'll ask Brother Michael if he'll come sing for us some more. If we can find that song that he sang, that was a good one. Behold him in plain view. There he is, the mighty conqueror, since he rent the veil in two. I don't know if we know that one. If we don't, maybe we'll get it sometime.